Prepare yourself to invest a few minutes with the Make Each Click Count podcast to discover new details and how to accelerate your sales and profits while making sure you're getting the absolute most out of your online marketing dollars. Hosted by Andy Spleichel, who's been running paid click campaigns for his clients for 20 plus years. Join us and discover what's working today and start making each click count. Without further ado, here's the acclaimed author of the Make Each Click Count book series, the founder of True Online Presence, the founder of Make Each Click Count University, and the host with the most, Andy Spleichel.
Welcome to the Make Each Click Count podcast. This is your host, Andy Spleichel, and we are happy to welcome this week's guest to discuss today's topic, which is strategies for scaling your e-commerce business. Today's guest leads a team of fractional CFOs at 8X, where they work with successful e-commerce brands that want to gain an economic edge over their competitors. A big welcome to Matt Putra. Hi, Matt.
Hey, Andy. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for coming. Now, for listeners who may not know, what exactly is a fractional CFO? And at what stage of a company's life would a company consider using a fractional CFO?
Yeah, so what is a fractional CFO? I mean, a lot of us were corporate CFOs that were running larger businesses. We were running finance teams, mergers, acquisitions, all kinds of things. And most of us got sick of the corporate grind and wanted to do something a little different, maybe put some more good into the world. Then there are some fractional CFOs that were bookkeepers or accountants and what have you. But anyway, the big deal here is that we are finance experts that are trying to help business owners understand their finances, plan better, and generally make more money. And at what stage are they needed? So generally speaking, a fractional CFO is helpful at any point at which you as a business owner cannot keep a handle on everything yourself. Typically, I find at around $2 million in revenue a year is when it makes sense to pay for somebody, or unless you're venture funded, then that would work. But we have started working with people when they're at 500 grand a year revenue, just because they were not the kind of person that either wanted to or could keep their arms around all the processes and bills and cash flows and inventory. But yeah, I would say the minute you feel that you just can't keep on top of it, or your time is better spent on something else, look for a fractional CFO.
And what are you providing as a fractional CFO?
Yeah, it varies in the industry. We do quite a few things. Obviously, cash flow optimization, meaning how do you negotiate with suppliers? How do you manage your marketing? How and when do you pay your people? And all of that stuff with making sure cash flow is optimized. We try to help you be more profitable. So net margin, EBITDA, how do we give you a better net margin? How do we plan better for hiring? How do we plan better for the next moves in your business? And a lot of fractional CFOs do that stuff and do it quite well. Some of the other stuff that we do is we help you with mergers and acquisitions. So if you're selling or buying, we can help you through that whole process. Obviously, you still need a lawyer. Mm-hmm. But we'll help you on the finance side. And then the other thing that we do now is we're sort of business strategy and execution and traction, meaning how do we help you make the best decisions possible in your business? And then how do we align your whole team around the decisions that you as the owner have made and make sure everybody's engaged and moving forward to the goal that you're setting? And a lot of fractional CFOs do one or all of those things. Yeah.
And you had mentioned usually around 2 million is a good time to consider a fractional CFO. When would you need what level of business as far as revenue have you found where you need to bring in a full-time CFO?
Yeah, I would say you could get by with a fractional up until 100 million, maybe even a bit more than that. Our biggest client is near that number. We work with them 2-3 days a week. But until that point, you know, I would say fractional can be done quite well up until 100 million. Around that number, there's just a lot going on. and it helps when someone's online for you all the time. Mm-hmm. But I, you know, and some people might see it differently, right? Some people might say, oh, we have to have a full-time at 50. Well, fine. But I'm just saying that it can work up to 100 pretty seamlessly. Yeah.
And you had, you know, you had mentioned one of the things that you do is help companies with cash flow and mm-hmm. cash flow. I mean, always seems to be an issue regardless of the size of company.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the ways that you recommend for a company to increase their cash flow?
Yeah. So there's a few things on the hit list that you always want to look at. One is, controls. So when, let's say for your marketing team, do they have a very clear idea of how much they're supposed to spend? And not only that, but what are the performance metrics that should guide them daily, weekly, monthly? That's one of the first things we'll put in place is here is the playground. Do whatever you want within the playground, and come get us if you need something else other than that. What we do obviously is red, yellow, green light. So if your blended ROAS is hit this point, keep going. If it hits this point, you got to slow down. If it hits this point, you got to pull back. So we're very, very clear about how people should use the funds in the business. Next is inventory. So the actual just mapping out what you think sales might be, what are expenses, what are inventory, just mapping that all out is a big part of control, because what someone can then see is, oh man, if I do things this way, 6 months from now, I have a cash flow problem. So mm-hmm. just the visual planning is another thing. Supplier negotiations is a huge part. Some folks that we work with are getting net 30 terms from their Chinese suppliers. Others are having to pay before they would put stuff on the water. So supplier negotiations is a huge, huge part. SKU rationalization, meaning which SKUs should you sell or not sell, is a very, very important part of cash flow management, because you could put money into slow turning SKUs or fast turning ones, and sometimes that can make or break the business. And probably the last thing is teaching through the team sort of a conservative mindset when it comes to spending and resource planning. And we help to sort of communicate through the ranks of a company how people should use money and how often and what they should ask for, and controls around new projects and things like that. Yeah.
Now, one of the favorite subjects of business owners is how much could I get if I sell my company? And
mm-hmm.
and that's all, I mean, it's always a dream for most people, a dream mm-hmm. of their, you know, when they start up, they're going to make $1 million company and they're going to make millions of dollars on a sale.
Yeah.
But how does a business owner know how much their company is worth?
Yeah. If you're in e-commerce, then right now it's very much about EBITDA, right? And growth. So it used to be you could think of your business in terms of a multiple of revenue, maybe 1x revenue or even 1.5 if you're under 5 million. Now it's very much about what is the profit that you have, and it's, you know, 3x EBITDA when you're under that 5 million. And EBITDA, for people who may not know, is your net income, and you add back interest, taxes, depreciation, amortization to your net income, and that will give you EBITDA. And you would multiply that by 3, basically, sometimes less right now. And then you can add a bit more to that if you've been growing very fast and you still have EBITDA. You can add a bit more to that if you're growing fast and you have multiple strong sales channels and you have EBITDA. But if you're flat and you're dependent on, let's say, Shopify and Facebook ads, buyers tend to notice that these days, and that will go the other way. So make you less valuable.
I'm sorry, what was that last part? If you're reliant on Facebook ads?
Reliant on Facebook ads alone, let's say, like if that's...
Oh, yeah, one marketing channel.
Yeah, one marketing channel. Yeah, that would make you less valuable in people's eyes right now, because as we all know, Facebook is really hard these days.
Got it. What would make you more valuable?
Yeah, so Facebook runs well, Google runs well, TikTok runs well, email brings in revenue. So like what I'm saying is, you have multi-channel revenue, right? Furthermore, sales velocity, so you're growing 30% every year, that would increase your valuation. EBITDA above 15%, that's maintaining as you grow is great. Organic reach, like virality, will make you more valuable because, again, you're not dependent on spending money to get eyeballs, right? A very good product would make you more valuable. Like, you know, like there's a lot of apparel companies, but let's say there's a, you know, and when you look at apparel companies, if there's something that's a very desirable product, so not just a regular t-shirt, but let's say it's a t-shirt that has something special about it, or Stelco. Here's, I don't work for these guys, but Stelco is a great example. It's sort of like performance compression clothing, but they have underwiring in the clothing. So you don't have to wear knee braces, but there's wiring in their leggings, basically. That is a product where, if indeed, I don't know if they resonated with their market, but if they have, that makes you more valuable. Go ahead.
What about owner involvement?
Well, that's a great question. You know, can the business run without you as an owner? So at 5 million, it's a non-issue because it's not going to work for most businesses. At like 20 or 30, 50 million, 80 million, you know, your executive team needs to be able to run the business if you were hit by a bus or won the lottery and ran away. At 5 million, nobody expects the business to run without an owner. And so what they'll do when you get acquired is you'll just stay on for 3 years and transition, or 2 years, or what have you.
So an earnout.
An earnout, usually.
So is there an example I'd love to hear about how you guys have helped a company grow it at 8x with your fractional?
Yeah. Supplies? Yeah. I can't give any names, but there's a company that I joined in November 2022, and they made negative $600,000 in income in the prior 2 years. And just cash was a nightmare. And so when we signed up, we said, okay, let's get the ship under control. So the first thing that we did was optimize their marketing planning. So how much do you spend? When do you pull back? When do you push harder? Things like that. The owner had been working on finding a new factory. So we helped them sort of with some supplier negotiations and whatnot. And we ended up getting from 50% gross margin to 70%. And then it was, how do we control the growth? How do we get the right amounts of debt? How do we refinance their old debt so that they could have the room to grow? So, as most of us would know, Wayflyer, Shopify, Clearco, they're taking a lot of money every month when you have a loan with them. And it's, you know, for example, it's 15% of revenue you're just getting paid to these people. And it's very hard to invest in inventory when that's happening. And so we helped them figure out, where are we going to get debt from? Who's the best debt provider? How much debt should we take? When should we take it? How do we de-risk it? And that was a very big part of freeing up cash flow for these guys. Then with the marketing, helping them figure out how and when to push, help them figure out how to grow profitably. Probably the next piece, I mean, and this took, you know, the first 6 months was we turned around to profitability within 6 months. But we still had a lot of debt to figure out. So the debt took a while. Then it was negotiating with suppliers. What should we ask for? How do we ask? How do we give the supplier comfort? So now what we have is a very good relationship. And actually, we encouraged them to go visit the supplier in person, which they did.
Where was that, overseas? Or was
overseas, in Asia. So we encourage everybody with Asian suppliers to visit them in person. Go do the thing culturally and go drink and go do, you know, bring gifts and
interesting and build. And do you find that, why, I mean, does that improve the relationship that
100%? Yeah. So the two people that I know with the best terms visit their suppliers maybe not quarterly but twice a year. So they go to Asia, they party, they bring gifts, all the whole thing. They know the suppliers' kids sort of, and they have wonderful terms. And so this client that I'm talking about, they went from 30% deposit balance before shipping to 30% deposit balance on delivery. Now they have 30% deposit balance 30 days after delivery, which is unheard of for an Asian supplier. But it's because they went there, shook their hands, partied a little bit, and, you know, treated them like a people. You know what I mean?
And do you advise? So how do you help negotiate that? I assume, you know, just going over there is not going to, they're not going to be so happy to see you that they're going to offer you these great terms.
No. And it takes time, right? I mean, you know, this client had been visiting their supplier a few times, and then it's sort of, how do you structure the ask? And what we advise people to do is take nibbles. A good friend of mine named Kevin gave me this term. And you don't ask, you don't go from 30% deposit, 70% before shipment. And you don't go and ask, hey, can I have 60-day terms now? No. The next thing is, hey, can I do 30% deposit, 50% on shipping, and the balance when it arrives? Then you do next quarter when you've fulfilled your end of the bargain, you ask for a bit more, then a bit more, and you just structure the asks so that they ladder up to where you want to go over time, and you hold up your end of the bargain. So there was, yeah, but now this client, even now they have 60-day terms, and the supplier is holding safety stock that they don't have to pay for. And part of the way you get there for the listener is, again, going to meet them, but also doing a bit of planning, showing them, hey, here's where my revenue is today. Let's say we're doing $10 million a year today. I'm going to do probably 15, 20 next year. However, if you can give me 30-day terms, I can turn on more marketing and I can do 25. So you're telling your supplier, here's where you can help me grow, and the money comes back to you. In some cases, you can also offer to pay them more. So it does make sense to do this where, let's say, for 30-day terms, you pay them an extra 1%. The interest rate on that is, I don't know, 15%, but it's not a loan on your books. It's a supplier loan, and you're paying a little bit more in your cost of goods. So massive, massive upside to supplier negotiations.
Interesting. And do they take their fractional CFO with them on these trips? Or
they do not. They unfortunately do not, at least not yet. But I haven't been needed in the actual things. I've just been advising how to approach. Yeah.
So I'm curious, how did you get involved with 8X? What is your background?
Yeah, so I was a CFO for a private equity group for a number of years, and we did really interesting stuff, and I just didn't want to do the corporate grind anymore. I live in a suburb of Vancouver, Canada, and I was commuting 3 hours a day. So I missed dinners with my kids for about 2 years straight during the week, and I had a friend that said, hey, I know you do the CFO thing, but I need help with my own business. Can you help? And I said, yeah, of course. So I went over there and I saved them 50 grand within 2 weeks. And I gave them a cash flow plan, and we found out they're going to run out of money 10 months from now. And we went to the bank and got an appropriate size loan, and they didn't run out of money and they kept growing. And so really enjoyed that and found that helping this friend of mine was just a great feeling. And so then he told a couple of friends, and I just kept doing that. And then eventually I quit my job and did this full time. And so now we have a team of almost, I think we're 18 people now, bookkeepers, accountants, CFOs. And we're trying to help businesses between, you know, 10 to 80 million, basically. And we do work with some smaller businesses as well.
Now, are there any challenges that you guys have in a fractional CFO role? People aren't responsive, or I mean, where do you might struggle to get results that you?
Yeah, that's the big one. I would say when people aren't responsive. So by way of example, someone called me last May and said, Matt, I have 4 weeks of cash flow left. Can you help? And I was like, yeah, I can help. And we joined them and we looked at their books and we said, well, you're to get profitable, there's 8 steps. So we said, fire everybody that's not doing their job well. Your brother that you're paying, who's not doing really anything, let go of your brother too. We gave them a whole bunch of recommendations, and they said, well, we don't like any of those. Give us different ones. So we're like, okay, no problem. So we gave them a few more, and they're like, we don't like those either. And I was like, well, what do you want us to do? You have 4 weeks of cash left, and you're not willing to make hard decisions. We can't help you. And so we parted ways and got no results, right? But I would say the big one is the big two things that stop us from getting results is A, when people call us too late, and B, if people aren't willing to make hard decisions and do hard things. We even gave this person, like, look, you and your wife moved to I don't know, Colombia, Argentina, Bali, where it's super cheap to live for a while. So you need less money for your business. They're like, nope, don't want to do that either. I'm like, well, then, you know, nothing we can do in any business. Even my wife and I, for example, we have an agreement where as we grow, if the cash flow hits this number, we're going to move to Argentina for a year to keep growing.
Really?
The business. Yeah. Well, because we believe in this business and I love it. And she also believes, which is great. And we just think that we'll move to somewhere super affordable for a year, continue growing the business, and then come back when we're profitable as we want to be. And luckily, we haven't had to do it, but there's been a few months where we're like, oh, shit, it's coming, you know?
But interesting. We're just, and why Argentina?
Oh, just because we have four staff members there now. And it's a wonderful country and it's very, very affordable. There are some challenges, there are for sure, but yeah, we have four staff members there and they're quite wonderful.
Interesting. What you had mentioned, maybe they're not willing to make hard choices or it's too late. When is it too late?
Yeah. 4 weeks cash flow and lenders knocking on the door. I mean, that's almost too late. Right. And it's there, you know, it takes, here's the thing, right? So when someone calls me, I don't know a lot about their business, or they call my other CFO, right? We don't know much about them. We have to learn about them first to be effective. So if you call us and there's 4 weeks left before D-Day, that's not even enough time for us to really learn about you and what are your unique challenges and who is your team and who's your senior decision makers and who are your lenders and what's the relationship with your clients. There's so much to learn that if there's only 4 weeks before D-Day, it's very difficult to be effective. So yeah, like it's just like there's a learning curve with us before we add a lot of value. And that would be, I would say, at the shortest amount of time, it's like 2 weeks to add value. And usually it's four, just because, you know, we come in not, I don't even, like, let's say you called me like, hey, I need help. I don't even know all the things that you do, right? I need to figure that out first, then I can help, right?
Sure. Now, I mean, nobody wants to get to the point where it's too late. Where, I'm curious, is it that people usually say, oh, I need help? Is it a trigger event? Or, I mean, what are they seeing that
there are two moments that most people call us. One is, my business feels like it's going great. I want to turn on the rocket fuel and I don't want to fuck it up. So that's one. And sorry if I shouldn't swear on the show without asking first, but the other one is, I'm quite worried and I want to not tank my business. Can you help us? So both of those moments, the one with the growth, before you do the rocket fuel is when you want to call a CFO. It doesn't have to be me, right? Because why? When you grow very fast, obviously your business is moving fast, you have to hire people, you have to buy a lot of inventory, you have to do marketing, you have to do new projects. Well, a CFO will help you put guardrails around all those things in such a way that they will know when things are breaking and you need to pull back. We had a business where they raised multi seven figures and they threw it all down on a few projects and it all went to shit, right? But if they had called us and we had the guardrails, we would have been able to help them pivot in that journey. On the, I don't want to, my business to go downside, I would say, you know, you'd want to call somebody when you think there would be six months, I would say, before like there's a big, big problem. I would say when you start to not sleep very well, that's when you should call somebody. That's what I think at that point. Because the earlier you call someone, the more we can do. And it's not just me. There's a bunch of other wonderful CFOs out there. But the earlier you call us, the more we can do. That's why I said, so, when you start to feel like you can't keep a handle on everything, that's when you call someone.
And that's, so how can somebody get a hold of you if they're experiencing one of those two things right now?
Yeah, I would say, you know, LinkedIn. I'm on LinkedIn, Matt Putra. You could look at our website, eighttx.co. LinkedIn and my website are the two best ways to get in touch with me. You can book directly into my calendar in both places, or just DM me if you have a question. We answer tons of questions when people ask us. Yeah, that's how you connect with us.
Well, this has been great. Is there anything else you'd like to add before we wrap it up today?
You know, the one thing I will add is we are opening a community on school.com, and we'll give a code to your listeners, Andy. I'll get it to
Oh,
you
that'll be
after.
great.
Yeah. And so we'll give you, I don't know what, I mean, my team is figuring out what the discount would be, but we'll give Andy a code, and we'll make sure that your listeners have one specific for them. And in that community, you can expect weekly Ask Me Anything, office hours, questions, answers, free tools, all kinds of stuff to help you with your business. And though that would be for people that maybe either are earlier stage or couldn't afford to like hire us full time, but you can get insight from us and our analysts in that community.
Well, it'll be great. We'll put that into the show notes for listeners if they're
Wonderful.
interested. All right. Well, thanks for joining us today.
This was so wonderful, Andy. Thank you.
All right. For listeners, remember, if you like this episode, please go to Apple Podcasts and leave us an honest review. And if you're looking for more information regarding 8X or connecting with Matt, you will find the links in the show notes below, along with the coupon code. In addition, if you're looking for more information on growing your business, check out our podcast resource center available at podcast.makeeachclickcount.com. We have compiled all of our different past guests by show topic and included each of their contact information in case you would like more information on any of the services I've discussed during previous episodes. Well, that's it for today. Remember to stay safe, keep healthy, and happy marketing. And I'll talk to you in the next episode.
This has been the Make Each Click Count podcast. Remember, those that want to make more sales and profits online, listen to this podcast. The ones that want to discover how to do it faster, invest in themselves and their business through Make Each Click Count University. Join our private Make Each Click Count Facebook group or send us an email to info@makeeachclickcount.com. We want to know who you are and any questions that you may have regarding online marketing.